Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carroll's Corner MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Carroll of MyMMAnews.com. Our show is brought to you by MyMMAnews.com, your number one source for MMA news. All episodes can be listened to on MyMMAnews.com by clicking on podcast at the top of the page. Go scrolling down, and you'll find Carroll's Corner. Find all the links to all the previous shows on there. And this show will be recorded and put on there as well. So be sure to check it out. Follow MyMMAnews.com on social media at MyMMAnews. And you can follow your host, myself, Kyle Carroll, on Twitter at Giblet77. That's JIBLITZ77. And tonight we have our guest, Dami Powerson, will be joining us this evening. He's of Striking 101 in New York City. Dami, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Kyle. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for coming on the show. You're coming off a big win at Worlds Collide on Friday night. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was Worlds Collide. What happened? It took place exactly a week ago. I fought in the heavyweight division against Mark Sugar of Long Island. This fight was a heavyweight division. Actually, normally I fight at light heavyweight, but due to circumstances that took place with my previous appointment, I got moved and fight was offered to me at heavyweight. So I moved up, took the fight, and here we are, came out the win. Originally, I thought I was going to finish the fight early. As everybody can see, watch the video.
It looked like you did.
Yeah, but somehow, and next, you know, I see him going for my legs. So I was like, oh, boy, okay. This guy's pretty tough, so I'm prepared to go the distance. Got dug deep. But, you know, the one that fights the hardest, the one that beats the deepest, comes out with the win.
And you know, you're talking about, you guys came out right away. You guys are big guys. You stand at 6'3", correct?
Yes.
You said you fight at light heavyweight. How much did you weigh going into this fight?
I weighed in at 246.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. And I know he was, like, thinking, well, it's 250, 255 maybe. But like you said, you almost finished it early. And you hit him with some heavy thunder. You said you started grabbing your leg. What was through your mind? Like, did you maybe, I don't know if you maybe tired yourself out, but was it just something kind of like, all right, let me just slow down a little bit and just kind of pace myself? Or
yeah, originally, like, what I did is I blew my load off too soon in the beginning stages of the fight, and that's what caught up to me, like, going towards the end of the fight. You know, I started getting a little winded. But, you know, what I realized, like, I should have paced myself, and then maybe at some point I would have got the KO and maybe finished the fight later on instead of blowing my load, trying to finish him too soon, and then gas myself out. But either way.
First round, I know so you rocked him pretty hard. There were some heavy shots in there. He dropped, and then he recovered a little after kind of grappling. And just so everyone knows, you fought in a novice fight where your opponent didn't have two or more fights. So anything two or less, you have to fight with shin guards, and on the ground you can't hit anyone in the head or anything like that. So part of the New York State rules, which is a good rule, I think. But so you weren't able to ground and pound to someone's face, which is a game changer, I believe. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
No, so actually that is a game changer because, you know, like, I like to finish with my opponents with a ground and pound, but it's like that's taken away. So I was like, okay, nah, I just got to try to finish him or if anything, just go the distance.
Yeah, and then later on in the first round, it looked like he might have caught you a little bit. I don't know if he really hurt you or if you slipped or
No, he
how
caught
did
me
it.
a little bit. He caught me a
Okay.
little bit. Caught me a little bit. But I was able to shake it off and keep going on with the fight.
Well, what was going through your mind at that point? Because I know everyone in the stands, like, you almost knocked him out, then he almost hit you, and you both recovered pretty well, pretty quickly.
Yeah. What was going through my mind was like, oh, this dude hit me. Nah, I'm not getting knocked out in this fight. Nah, I just got to really stay in and fight the whole 9 minutes if I have to, which eventually I did.
Yeah, and you pretty much dominated the next two rounds. Second and third
Yeah.
round, you took him to the ground and you held him there,
Yeah.
working the body and whatnot, trying to get some submissions. What's your background in MMA? Are you primarily a striker or are you a grappler as well?
Well, originally my background, I wrestled in my earlier years. I wrestled
Oh,
through
okay.
school and everything. That's my original stage. And then when I came into striking 101, I built up on my grappling, my striking, and everything else.
Awesome. Excuse me. And where did you wrestle at in high school?
I wrestled at Curtis High School in Staten Island, New York.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. And so you're at Striking 101. You train under Jonathan Ruiz, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You want to tell us a little bit about your gym and I guess how you found your way to Striking 101?
Yeah, Striking 101, what I like about that gym has like a family atmosphere that where everybody can come together and train together and just one big happy family. And how I found out about Striking 101 is like I was actually in my very, very first MMA fight. And then there was a former teammate that was training there that saw me fight and he realized my potential. So he told me to come down. I'll introduce you to my sensei. And I came down to the gym. I met with Sensei John, and I just say the rest is history.
Awesome, awesome. And how long have you been training there now?
I'm going on almost around 4 years now.
Oh, wow. All right. So you've been training for quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
And why do you fight MMA and say work in a traditional job? And you might even work a traditional job because, as we all know, amateur MMA, no one gets paid for. Just tell us a little bit about what you do outside of MMA and how it helps you able to train for MMA.
Okay. Outside MMA, I work as an administrative assistant for an agency that deals with people who are developmentally disabled,
Oh,
and
okay.
also I'm one of the young leaders in my father's church, so I help out around as well.
Nice.
Hello?
All right. I'm here. So you keep busy. You're busy outside the cage, on top of
Yes.
training. How do you
Yes.
find time to balance both?
Well, I just gotta make the time to, spend time with family, friends, and people. And normally, like on weekends, I just try and wind down, just relax my body, and then just spend time with people.
Awesome. All right. Very cool. So you got this big win on last Friday night at Worlds Collide, which is now, because it was at KTFO and ACC, now it's Triton Fights.
Yeah.
Their next fight is February 24th, I believe. Your intentions, I believe, are to get onto that card and fight again.
Yeah.
Do you have anyone in mind that you want to fight, or anyone that you know of that they want you to fight against?
Whoever they throw at me, I'm always gonna be prepared.
Okay. And well, you're 3-2 right now. What's the timetable to maybe go pro? Or is there an idea of going pro?
The goal is for me to go pro next year.
Okay.
That's a goal.
Is there like a certain amount of fight, maybe like one or two more, or is it just kind of when your coaches believe you're ready to get out there and go?
Normally, like when it comes to something like this, I like to follow my sensei because he has experience in this game. So, whenever he says I'm ready to jump in to the pro levels, that's where I'll go.
All right. And, well, as we all know, pro get like the skill level jumps drastically. What do you
Yes.
believe you have to do for yourself in order to make that leap into the professional level as an athlete or a fighter? What do you have to do to I guess, compete on a higher level? Is there anything in your training?
As far as the training, you guys got to take it to a whole nother level. Whatever you do, you got to do it like 10 times better. Like, because at pro level, you know, it's a whole different ball game. You know, certain things you can't do at amateur level, you can do it in pros. So you just got to stay on your toes and take it to another level.
Okay. And you're a former wrestler. Now you've been striking with Striking 101 for about 4 years. Are you comfortable on your feet? I know a lot of people, like, I was speaking to another fighter the other day who's a former wrestler as well, and he was saying how when he's fighting, at first he wasn't confident on his feet. Now he wants to stay on his feet and prove himself as a stand-up guy. Is that something that you rather do, or would you like to just, if you have to, get the takedown and get the win?
Normally for us wrestlers, to making that transition from wrestling to striking, it could be a little difficult. But for me, the thing, like, prior is, like, I wasn't confident in my striking. So now from this past weekend that we had this Worlds Collide event, I was I'm more confident in my striking, especially with the knockdown I had and with the punches and everything. So as a wrestler, you just also got to adapt to other styles of striking and grappling and everything. And that's how you become like a well-rounded mixed martial artist. You know, you can't stick with one style forever. You just got to evolve and elevate.
Well, what would you say was the hardest transition as a wrestler to a striker?
Well, the hardest transition?
Yeah, what was like the hardest part of it? Like, so you're in the cage with someone, you're swinging, you're fighting. Is it like the thought of like, should I shoot now? Should I shoot now? Or is it, am I worried about striking and getting taken down myself? Is there an aspect of it, making the transition to becoming a striker as well? That kind of, I guess, maybe intimidates some people. What was something that you found maybe difficult in the transition?
And the transitions, for me, were making it a little difficult, which is not anymore, is from going from the striking straight into the wrestling, like from standing up, going straight into the takedown. You know, you got to work certain combos in order to, like, get your opponent thinking, like, oh, he may shoot, he may do this. But as time goes on, I was able to learn certain things from Sensei John that helped me make my transition from wrestler to striker very easy.
So the setup you thought was one of the toughest parts, setting up the takedown. And okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I know I'm always like, I'm a wrestler myself. I'm always curious to finding out like what people found. Like, it's different for everyone, obviously, but I was I'm always just curious what it was that you guys had to conquer and overcome to improve yourself as a fighter. That's awesome. For anyone who's interested in calling in, feel free to call in and ask Powerson a question. 323-870-4011. We love callers. Feel free to call in and ask some questions. So your timeline, you're talking about going pro within the next year. Tell us about you're from Staten Island. Where's the gym located, the Striking 101?
Oh, it's located in Kew Gardens in Queens.
Oh, okay. All right. And about how many teammates do you have there?
We have about 30 teammates.
Oh, all right. So you guys got a decent-sized team.
Yeah.
And I know you guys were well-represented at Worlds Collide that night. You had several people fighting on the card.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, I guess, what have you learned about yourself since your first fight? And what you've improved on since you've started fighting?
Since my very, very first fight in MMA, what I've learned about myself is, I have endurance. Like, I can tolerate a lot of things in the fight. And also my cardio has majorly improved, that I can literally, like, go the distance, even though, like, my body says no. I know it's in myself that I can push myself. So I noticed, like, I have good potential to go forward with MMA.
Definitely. And, you know, seeing you in there and hitting, your opponent on Friday with those punches. Definitely, you have one shot knockout power. That's for sure.
And all my opponents were like, "Dude, your hands are like hands of steel or hands of stone. I do not want to get hit by you ever again."
Now you said you could fight a lot of times. You fought before at 205.
Yeah.
You fought this past fight at 240. Is losing the weight and cutting weight, is that difficult, or is that just something that you've kind of mastered being a former wrestler?
Well, being a former wrestler in my early days, it was easy to cut the weight. But now, you know, as you get older, sometimes it gets a little bit tricky. Sometimes, and now you have to learn how to get it down to a science to be like, okay, now I got it. Now I know what to do, what not to do with the weight cut. So right now it's making it a little easier.
Okay. Now, before this past fight, you fought actually in a title fight for the light heavyweight title. Fought Dan Fazzino.
Yes.
Ended up falling in that one, falling short. What did you learn from that one? You got submitted in that fight. What did you learn from a grappler that he was a skilled BJJ fighter?
The fight against Fazzino, that time I was defending my title. I lost it. What I learned in that fight is like, things happen, and I'll admit it, that night I messed up. I did something that I know I should have gotten myself out of that situation. And with that Fazzino's fight, I wasn't down or out, and I know at that point that I have to redeem myself. And with this past Friday night, with the event that came through, that's why I dug deep within myself, like, no, I'm not going to lose another fight. I got to dig deep, and I had to redeem myself, and I had to come with the win.
Yeah, and that was a very impressive win. Like I said earlier, the last two rounds, second and third round, you dominated. Mm-hmm. You took him down, and you held him on top. The only thing you couldn't do because of the rules was pound his face in, which I think you did everything but that, which was an impressive win.
Thank you.
How did you, like you said, that you feel your stamina building? When you get a win like that, and I know you had to have known that you won the fight at the end of the third round.
Yeah.
What kind of like energy did you have at the end of that fight? Because you looked like you weren't breathing heavy.
I was breathing pretty heavy that round because you know like I blew my load too much in the first round and it kind of just killed me from there. But what I learned also from that heavyweight, you gotta have super cardio too. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not that I didn't underestimate him, but I know I did my cardio. I know my cardio is normally better than that, and I should have really just kind of take my cardio to a higher gear.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to seeing you get back in the cage.
Yes.
When you get in there, do you have like goals and like things you want to accomplish within the cage? Say my next fight, I want to get in there and I want at least two takedowns and like complete like couple combos. Do you line up goals like that for yourself before a fight?
Before the fight, normally I just go with a clear mind and just be like, whatever happens, and just normally I just kind of just watch what my opponent does, and also I pay attention to what my sensei says outside the cage too. So whatever he says, I do, and if there's an opportunity for me to go for the takedown, then I'll go for the takedown and then work my combos and go for the ground and pound.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm a big fan of someone that can hold their opponent down and deliver some ground and pound, because I don't think there's anything more dominating and like impressive when you can hold some like another grown man down and just beat the shit out of them, that's for sure. it's true. A lot of people, they love the flashy knockouts and stuff like that, but or the quick submissions, but I think it's nothing more impressive when you can physically hold someone down where they can't do anything and just beat the shit out of them. Like it's impressive,
right? And also sticking to the basics, you know, basics also wins the fight.
Yep, definitely. Now you said you try to listen to your coach while you're in the side. Can you hear him? I know it gets loud in the side there and whatnot.
Yeah, I can hear him and my other I can hear him, my senpai, and my other teammate. I can hear their voices when I'm in the cage.
Oh, all right, so you tune in. All right, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm always curious about that because I'm standing right outside the cage, ringside watching, and it gets loud in there. I can't even hear myself sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the fights. So, like, these are just amateur fights on Long Island. You walk inside, and like the atmosphere in there is pretty intense. People yelling, screaming. Do you feed off of any of that, or is that something where you just kind of ignore and don't even know what's going on?
Me, normally, like, when I come in there, I know, that especially Friday, one of my teammates said it was pretty intense because, you know, being in Long Island and us coming from the city part, normally I don't tend to listen to all that. I just kind of, like, pray in my mind and just keep a cool mind, just block out what they hate, block out all that, and just pay attention to your sensei and to what they're saying and trying to focus more on the fight. That's how I go about it.
Now, Patterson, you seem like a pretty mellow guy. Like, when I met you on Friday night, you're a very mellow guy. You seem very reserved. When you're inside the cage, do you ever talk shit or do you ever have anyone talk shit? Like, you're holding them down and you're like, I'm going to put my balls in your face. I know people do talk shit while they're in there. You ever talk shit while you're in there with them?
No, me, I never talk smack to my opponent. I'm believing full sportsmanship, respect in the cage, respect out of cage, respect in everything you do. Me, I don't talk smack. That's not my style. The only way I fight is I let my fighting do the talking.
Okay.
That's how I do it.
You know, I have to say, sometimes that might scare me the most is a quiet guy that gets in there. You just don't know what you're ready for. And then compared to a guy who's always talking, it's like, all right, I can kind of see where I figure you out pretty quickly. I think it's the quiet ones you got to be careful. Awesome. You got any, like, stories about training or anything? What's kind of maybe been the hardest part of training and the easiest part of training for you?
The hardest part is definitely the weight cut. That part is so hard. Like, normally, like, in my high school, in the younger days, it's easier to do. But as you get older, you're like, damn, why is it so hard to cut the weight? And then sometimes I get down to the science. When I heard I was going heavy for this last fight, I was like, yes, I want to cut weight. I can eat as much as I want, but don't eat too much. Don't eat too light. You just want to be just right, you know? And the easiest part of training is just getting down, understanding the combinations and working on it and seeing if it works. The thing what I like about the training is, like, also you can kind of, with the basics that you learn in training, you can kind of create your own style. Like I always say, you can create your own gumbo. Like I always tell people that come to a gym that you can put a little style together and see what works for you. Like a left, like a right hook, cross, jab, cross, hook, hook, cross, hook, and, you know, and et cetera.
You're talking about a weight cut, and with the holidays around, how hard is that? I'm sure some of your teammates were cutting weight. How hard is that with the holidays around? Everyone knows Thanksgiving, the big meals, Christmas is coming up. Like the big meals. I'm like, that's gotta be torture for guys cutting weight.
Oh yeah, I was actually cutting the weight to down to 205. I was like, man, I want to eat and I want to do this and that. And normally the day before Thanksgiving, I got a call like, all right, your opponent's out and we don't have a 205 for you, so you want a heavyweight fight. I was like, all right, I'll take the heavyweight fight. So they say, enjoy your holiday, eat as much as you want. When I heard that, I had a good, cheesy smile on my face. Like, yes.
I don't have
to cut weight this time. I can eat.
That must have felt like an early Christmas gift.
Yes.
And you said that was the day before Thanksgiving, right? They gave you a call?
Yeah, the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that must have been awesome. Like, turkey, here I come.
Yep.
That's awesome. Now, do you have a manager or is it that sets up your fights, or is it your coach Ruiz who does it?
Yeah, Ruiz does it.
Okay. Now, does he have like a method of doing it, or is he just kind of like, let's just get you fights? It's amateur. Let's just get you in the cage. More experience, more mat time.
No, normally we have he always wants us to be prepared like 3 months prior to fight time.
So kind of like a little mini, like a fight camp.
Yes. He always wants us to just stay ready like prior to fight time and, you know, instead of being the last minute and just not being up to speed with training. So he always wants us to be fully prepared, make sure our weight is down, make sure we're ready for the fight, make sure we're feeling good. So instead of having last minute, like weight cut problems and everything. Sensei John is the one that he always looks out for the team and makes sure the team is good. You know, and he keeps us on our toes, definitely. He keeps us on our toes. He always checks on our way. He always asks me while I was at 205, what's your weight at, Dom? Okay, I'll make sure you get on weight. What's your weight at, Dom? What's your weight at, Dom? So on the day of weigh-ins, when I'm at 205, I'm always underweight, so which is a good thing. So he's always checking to make sure I'm on weight, make sure I'm hydrated, make sure I'm healthy, and make sure I'm fully prepared for a fight.
So when he's checking on you, like right before Thanksgiving, before you found out, got that phone call, he's like, oh, how much do you weigh? Are you telling him the exact weight you're weighing, or do you give him like a little less than what you really weigh and kind of working on to lose? I know when I was in high school, senior year, I came from 256 to 215, and my coach every day by my lock, he was like, how much you weigh? And I always tell him 5 pounds lighter than I really was. and then when it came to weighing in, I'd be like a pound off, and then I have to go lose it. And he's like, I thought you were this weight. Like, just whatever made him happy, I'd tell him at that time. Do you tell them the accurate weight, or do you kind of put a little fib in there to give yourself a little leeway?
I tell them the actual weight.
Oh, so you're bold. I would have to give him a couple pounds less. I would have to.
Yep. And the day I got that call on Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, I was at 220.
Oh wow! So you were pretty close.
Yeah. So when I got that call, I was like, you're not fighting a 205, fighting a heavyweight. I was like, yes.
You answer the phone, you have like a salad in front of you, throw it out of the way and go grab a big old meal.
Yeah, actually at that time I was out and about on the way back to the house, so that's when I got the call. So when I got home, I was like, okay, what to eat? Here it is.
That's awesome. I'm sure, yeah, yep. I could imagine how happy you were getting that phone call. But now we're talking about heavyweights, because a lot of people, you think about it, featherweights, bantamweights, they're all talking like 10 pounds they're losing. I know it's tough for them to lose weight because they don't maybe have as much body fat and stuff. But so when you're going from one weight class to the next, we're only talking 10 pounds. When we're talking heavyweight, you're going from 205 to 265.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I know a lot of these guys, they all complain or they say their weight class is the toughest. I personally think heavyweight's one of the most entertaining weight classes to watch, as well as the toughest weight class. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts with the heavyweight weight class is, like, I know, like they say 205 to 265, which is a huge difference, you know, but I know for us in that weight class, we don't have to cut weight and all that and whatnot, but you know, to me, I wish they could have like a weight class right in the middle, you know, to make it like a light heavyweight, then another weight class. Yeah, like a 235 pound weight class, and then the 265.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I know King of the Cage. I don't know if you ever watched them on XT. They actually have a 235 pound weight class as well.
Oh, okay.
But that's interesting that you say that, because I'm always curious about that, because there could be 40-pound difference inside the cage or 50-pound difference. And sometimes it shows, sometimes it doesn't. And I think it's a different ballgame. You'd be fighting a much smaller guy, but yet they have just as much power as you.
Yeah.
Now when you're like grappling with someone at that weight, do you mind like going like I don't know if you're a big jujitsu guy or if do you mind going on your back and rolling around, or do you want to just get on top and stay up there, apply your pressure?
Well, when I'm on the ground like that, I don't mind being on my back as long as I fight off. But me, I'm the type like I'd rather be on top and be more dominant in a certain position than to work my move than to be on my back and having a super heavy guy on top of me and not able to do anything.
Because I'm sure that's tiring, right? It's got to be.
Oh yeah, they drain it drains like it. Like they say, like DC says, embracing the grind, all that weight is what's burning you out.
Now, you just fought a novice rules fight because your opponent had less than two fights, but you've also fought in the past normal MMA rules where you could ground and pound. What kind of a difference does that feel when? In both instances, when you're on your back taking the ground and pound, and when I don't know if you've been on taking ground and pound, but hypothetically, like, what's it like taking the ground and pound and delivering it?
Delivering the ground and pound is like it's a good feeling because at least you have I'm putting all my weight and then throwing punches and all the person can do is just kind of just like trying to maneuver their head and move the way and in the fight I've kind of never been in the position that I've been taking the ground and pound. Never been in that position before because I trained hard not to be in that position.
Okay, sweet, sweet, sweet. So next fight coming up is a Worlds Collide, or not Worlds Collide, excuse me, is Triton Fights One. It's under the new promotion name as ACC and KTFO made the merger permanently. What's training camp going to be like for you now? It's about a little bit over 2 months away from, well, it's about, I guess, 2 months exactly in tomorrow. How does it start for you now? Where do you go from here?
Where I go from here, when I
You plan
speak
on fighting at
this,
205 or?
I'm not sure what weight class I'll be fighting at yet. If anything, I'll probably know after the holidays.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's nice. You get to enjoy the meals, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, if you had to finish someone, if, or you didn't have to, but like if you had the opportunity to finish someone any way you possibly can, what would be the one way that you could finish them?
In a fight?
Yeah. Any way, like head kick, punching, choking.
I would definitely like to throw my leg and give someone a head kick in the cage.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that would be impressive at heavyweight. That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You know who I don't know, have you ever seen Brett Sanchez fight? He's
Yeah,
another amateur in the area.
I've seen his fights.
I would be honest. I think you match up very well against him, and I would love to see you fight him.
Yes.
I know, and he holds the KTFO fight and whatnot. He's a striker, but
Okay.
he's an interesting fighter. But I think I would love to see he fights a heavyweight, but he weighs like 225-ish. I think that
Okay.
personally, I think that would be a guy. I think that would be a great matchup, a great fight to watch for the fans as well as for both of you. I think it would be awesome to watch.
Yeah.
Just so if Tom or Eugene or anyone's listening. Maybe we could get that one set up. That'd be awesome.
Right. Hey, I'm down for that.
Yeah, I think that would be an awesome fight. Excuse me. Do you have any sponsors or anyone that help you pay for training or anything like that?
Yeah, so I have a sponsors. There is a restaurant in Staten Island called Lunchbox. They pay for my training and everything.
That's pretty cool. And what kind of restaurant is Lunchbox?
It's like a nice restaurant where they have salads and sandwiches and hamburgers. It's kind of like all the restaurants in one.
Oh, all right, cool. So it's like a all cool, like almost like an all American type thing. A little bit of everything. Awesome, that's pretty cool. I like the name, the Lunchbox. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so Lunchbox is your sponsor. Before we get, I guess, wrap this up, you have social. I know you're on social media. You want to let everyone know how they can find you on social media if anyone wants to follow you and follow your career?
Yeah, those who want to follow me in my career, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DOJOPOWERSON, DOJO Powerson. That's it.
Awesome. And I know you're on Instagram. Are you on Twitter or anything else?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Facebook as well.
All right, cool. So if you want to follow Powerson, check him out. Definitely a great guy. A few times I met you, you're a super pleasant guy to talk to. And very entertaining inside the cage. I'm definitely looking forward. And I would love to see the Sanchez-Powerson fight. I think that would be awesome. But either whoever you're fighting next, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Who are interested in listening to another podcast, check us out on Monday night. We're going to have Matt Roman on. He's the welterweight
champion.
Alpha
male.
Yeah, the alpha male, yep.
Cool,
tough
dude.
Guy.
Awesome, dude.
Yep, yeah, great guy. He's the ACC champion, the KTFO champion, and the CFFC champion. He was looking to combine or unite all those on last Friday, but due to an ankle injury, he had to pull out. But he's back on the back and ready to go, and he's looking to fight on February 24th as well. So definitely check us out Monday night at 9 p.m. We'll be there. Dami, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you coming and chatting, and I wish you the best of luck in training. And
thank you for having me, Cal.
Thank you, and have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Carol's Corner. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Jiblitz77. That's JIBLITZ77. So have a wonderful evening, a Merry Christmas to everyone, and have a wonderful night. That is all from Carol's Corner.
All right. Don't believe it's been slitting my